This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There's an attacking prowess to our game at the moment where we create really good chances. And have scored some really good chances. I think we're dominating the ball as well, which is something that I'd like us to do, playing in the opposition half. But the other side as well, restricting the opposition to few chances, which is always good. I think we're playing with a little bit of domination at the moment, but also we seem to have a little bit of a spring in our step as well, which is always nice. No, there's definitely more to come.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Scoring plenty at the moment though, and here's McGinn, he's through. McGinn! Villa have two. And McGinn has three in a week. And McGinn through the middle. Make no mistake.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me on the first show of the season, where we are sitting in the playoff spots, the omnipresent Max Stokes of Villa on Tour.
Hello.
And Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome,
good evening,
gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
What was Max doing on the pitch against Middlesbrough?
I ran on.
Did you see that, Bud?
I did. It's been the theme of the last few weeks, isn't it? People running on the pitch and causing chaos.
We're on the pitch, boys. This is all a bit mad. This is all a bit mad. Here you are, boss man Adoma. He loves it. Kalinic, mate. Kalinic. No. Jimmy. Jimmy Danger. He loves it. What's he doing? What? Bang it, top bins, mate. Hey.
I mean, I heard that somebody was going to run onto the pitch of Villa Park and try to lamp Tony Pulis, but this was this at half time?
Max couldn't get near him. He'd park the bus in front of him.
No, that was my mission, to go and lamp him one, but I didn't quite get there.
Was it half time?
It was, yeah. Basically, you know the pride reward points? You can spend them and go on at half time.
Can you?
Yeah.
What, just stroll around?
Well, within reason. We asked him, we couldn't go in the goal or anything, but anywhere on the pitch, do what you want.
When I saw the footage, obviously, going around social media, I thought you had braved the challenge to kick the ball into that where you can win a...
The old prize where it lies.
Yeah, prize where it lies, a lifetime supply of pucker pies or your height in Heineken or whatever, that just people perpetually fail.
It's always bad, isn't it? Always bad.
Yeah, it's not even entertainment anymore.
There's been one really good person this year.
How do you get entered into it? You go to the game knowing you're doing it, don't you?
Yeah, you buy your way in, don't you, with your prize rewards?
Yeah.
Right. You would think you would go down your local park a few days before and just practice to get the weight of it. If you're not obviously a regular player. Just bad preparation. If you prepare to, what's the catchphrase?
Preparation prevents piss poor performance, the 5 P's.
Now, what's the other one?
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Exactly. So if you're entering into that half-time competition, get down your local park and sort it out, because there's, you know, 30, 35,000 fans just getting disappointed every fortnight.
I just want someone to chip it with a bit of like cut on it and it just land perfectly and stop.
Anyway, we are digressing on...
For a change.
For a change. So, gentlemen, it's all changed within a month. I don't know about you guys, but after that West Brom game, after that limp performance where Dean Smith was arms folded on the side and he seemed to be powerless to do anything, make any impression in that game, and it looked like it was game, set, and match. And in fact, we had a season-ending party on the podcast that followed. But is this taking you by surprise, Max? What's happened in the last 4 weeks?
It has a bit. I think it was Brentford away after that. I think we'd all conceded to the fact that it just wasn't going to happen. I think you actually tweeted like that the 18-19 season was over.
We're all liars.
But yeah. it's just sums up the championship, that it's just four wins and you're right back in there. It is a weird one, but we've done it and hopefully we can sustain it and carry on.
It's the championship, such a cliche, but I think part of the reason why we thought it was over, because you looked at those fixtures and it was four tough games against teams that were very much in the playoffs, and we've just rolled through them.
Well, yeah, it was this sort of run in November, wasn't it? You look at these fixtures and they're hard. You know, you look at the Middlesbrough derbies that are up there, and we just seem to come through it both back then and now with flying colours. And it's just that 15 game run where we got, what was it, two wins? That's what's cost us.
Bud, were you expecting this, or had you resigned yourself definitely to a fourth season in the championship?
I thought the season was over. I thought, and we discussed, I knew Villa would have a run. I didn't think the run would continue to be that bad.
I don't know if we discussed. We were disgusted.
We were disgusted. I always thought we would have a run. I just thought it would be at the end of April when the season was over.
Yeah.
I always thought, you know, once people are back, we're going to be a much better side. But to, you know, for Grealish to come back so quickly and just to click, and it shows, you know, what a bit of momentum and a bit of belief on and off the field can bring.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, and I thought that was quite logical, that certainly with the pressure off, Villa would, you know, win the last four games or so, beat Leeds, beat Norwich, and it would mean nothing. Just one thought. Dean Smith, like historically, and I'm not just picking on Dean Smith, has always been capable of these 5-6 wins in seven games, these kind of shorter bursts of runs, and then he goes on these crazy long underachieving periods of, like we've just said, two wins in 15. I think in Warsaw he went 16 without a win. I'm hoping that he stretches that out a bit this time and gets to the end of the season with, let's say, how many games left? Eight
to go, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, if we can bag six of them, I think that's game, set, and match. Well, it definitely will be up, I think, if we get... Well, in the playoffs anyway, you got six out of eight. But if you can sustain that, then it gets interesting. But we'll talk about the playoffs in a second. If you're new to the show, this is more of a relaxed catch-up, basically on the Forest and Borough game. And then we'll look at the all-new playoff picture, which has obviously changed because we never even considered ourselves really getting in there until I think we said we had to beat Blues, Forest, and obviously Borough was the cherry on top to definitely cement our places there. So we'll talk about that now with our new knowledge that we have, that we are now sixth. We normally have 3 points, but we'll get rid of that this episode and have minus 9 points instead.
Hey,
obviously referring to the Blues. We'll just quickly go over that because it is quite interesting, because it's from the point of view that this is kind of a precedent in terms of the new fit and proper rules and how they've actually, we've actually finally seen some points taken off. Normally it's like some kind of token gesture fine, but obviously it relates to Villa because we are not out of the woods. So as well as discussing that and the Borough and Forest games, and then we'll have a quick look at the playoff picture and also at the automatic spot, because three teams going gun-ho now the Baggies have slipped off the pace. Right, on to those minus 9 points. What did you think about that? Did you have any opinions of that? Because I think a lot of people, Blues fans, were saying there's going to be a 12-point deduction. Suddenly, a 12-point reduction would have put them slam bang in the relegation battle. 9 points, they're kind of hovering, what, like 5 points above the drop zone? And unless they capitulate, they should be okay. And some people have complained that it's just meaningless. It doesn't really affect them, the 9 points. And it seems to have been 9 points because of that.
I think is there's a certain amount of them dodging a bullet. I think from what I've seen online from Blues fans and the press, it would appear that Blues have got off lightly. I think most of them are reasonably content with that. You know, a 5-point gap should be enough with the rubbish teams they've got beneath them and the teams they've got to play in the running. They should be fine. I think, you know, have they played well enough to deserve to not to go down? As much as it pains me to say, yes, I think they have been better than, you know, they're deservedly where they were in the league for a reason.
Because, I mean, the actual fine itself, when you look at it, obviously they're in, you know, financial trouble. Zola spends about 7.45. And then when Redknapp comes in, they already know they're in breach of the financial fair play rules. But they sanction Harry Redknapp to spend an extra 23.75 million. I mean, he gets in 9 permanent signings, 5 loan players. I think that was half the Brentford team, wasn't it? If I memory serves me right.
Yeah, Yotta and all these guys.
So they did that blatantly. And when it comes to the breakdown of the points, I think they got like a reduction mitigation because they had admitted to it quickly. So they got 1 point deducted off their tally and they were on 6 points. But because of this blatant, it didn't matter what, you know, how quickly they admitted their guilt and how they helped the EFL, et cetera, et cetera. Just the fact that they, the Harry Redknapp spend, that got them that extra 3 points. So that's how it ended up in 9 in the end.
Yeah, it is a funny one. I think they've called it a soft embargo. So there's no transfer ban or anything like that. But I believe they're still ongoing talks with the EFL. I'm not too sure. But in terms of the relegation scrap, as you said, I don't think they're going to be in too much trouble. They are 5 points clear. But after losing the last 4, they might be a little bit nervous. But this has been one of their best seasons in a long time, to be fair to them. Gary Monk, with the players he's got, he's done a very, very good job. And it's just typical, isn't it, that this is the season.
It'll get interesting in a few weeks, though, because they go to the Baggies next. Then they've got Leeds and Sheffield United at home. So their picture could, you know, really change within a month's time. It could get very nervy down there.
I think the EFL has still got to announce the ramifications of what happened at the Villa game as well.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of that, I'm sure, will end up being just a fine.
Yeah, it's not going to be, obviously, extra points. So.
There's also other ramifications in the league, of course, with the issues going on at Bolton, which could have a much bigger effect on Villa. Because, of course, if Bolton were to go bump, all their points would get pulled, of which we have 3, and we wouldn't be able to play them. And we've still to go to the whatever it's called this year. Is it the Macron Stadium now? I think it's called the Macron, isn't it?
Yeah, that's. I was speaking to some Bolton fans at this week. I've been to a EFL club fan rep meeting, Football Supporters Federation in London, and they're actually based in Sunderland, but the meetings are in London. And also the West Midlands Police Football Unit Independent Advisory Group to have a debrief on the Blues game, which was quite interesting. I'll probably mention that later on. In the EFL meeting, the Bolton chap, I think they said if they didn't get their asset of community value, they may have lost their stadium already. And this is something that I helped put in place for Villa Park, obviously, when Randy Lerner was selling. But yeah, there's now the term, the crisis clubs is just a well-known phrase now that's thrown around in all these meetings, you know, obviously covering Blackpool, Coventry, Bolton, etc.
Ourselves at one point.
And Villa could have been very much in that bracket, which is worrying. And, you know, now we're happy-go-lucky as a club. Well, once we get past probably the next season in terms of financial fair play, but a lot of people don't realise how close we were to being one of the biggest examples of how football has completely gone wrong in the Premier League age. Anyway, just one thing. That was the player that the Blues signed that they thought they were going to get shot down over because it broke the embargo.
That Pedersen, the left back, is that right?
Yeah. Pedersen. Apparently, that wasn't seen as much of an issue, and that didn't incur any of those points of that penalty. So, you know, some fans have said that would have been one of the main reasons why they got stung. But apparently, that didn't affect the final verdict. Anyway, before we go on to look at the recent games, just a quick shout out to the My Old Man Said patrons who have joined in the last week or so. Thanks very much to George Jones, Craig Gregory, David Waldron, Simon, I can't even pronounce that surname, it's got some accent on it.
Utstrol,
Simon Utstrol, Stuart S, Mysterious Stuart S, James Cook, and Bethany Davis. Thank you very much, and please do sign up and support the show so we can improve the quality of Max Stokes' microphone. That would be the first thing on the list.
Sorry.
Go to myomensaid.com thetalksport.com and click on the Patreon option, and please do sign up. I'll be revamping the options. Also, I'm not going to call it out now, but there's an interesting competition winging its way, which I'll slide some patrons in there. I think 10 people will have something interesting to do. I think it's Thursday morning, if you're free, April 4. So look out to that one. We'll probably announce it on the next podcast, just finalising details now. Right, on to Forest Borough. We did say the Blues game was all very well and good winning that, but the real trigger to playoff potential would be beating Forest. And those cheeky bastards went 1-0 up after 2 minutes again. Max Stokes, what were you thinking when that happened? Were you thinking 6-6?
Oh, yeah, I actually was, after we went 2-1 up as well. But after they went 1-0 up, I was thinking, right, here we go again. I wasn't expecting us to do what we did, but it was a nervy start, to be fair. That yeah, it was a fluky goal. It probably shouldn't have gone in. He didn't mean it. We all know that. But we got back into it. Fair plays to us. After 7 minutes, I couldn't see what was going on down the other end, I'm going to be honest. But
did you get there in time for this game, to be honest?
Yeah, I was there in plenty of time, to be fair, yeah. No run into the ground this time, which was a bonus.
I wasn't at the game because I was at the airport waiting to go on a cheap holiday to Tenerife. It's an annual thing that the males of my family and the friends of the males do. It's just like a long weekend. But we were in a hotel bar, obviously want to see the game. Problem is, there's a big, big game on. And so I rang up the hotel and they said, oh, yeah, we have a TV room, one screen though. And I said, have you got two screens? Because I know a lot of people want to watch Liverpool Bayern Munich.
I don't know why.
It's first come, first serve, sir. And I said, right, okay, well, if those are the rules, we've got a chance of pissing off a lot of people.
So Dave went and put his towel down at 6 in the morning.
So we get there, some of our posse are already there, and they're in the TV room, and as I've given the heads up, but they turned to me and said, there's a scouser here, and he's got here before us. So this one guy has obviously got the dibs on it. Anyway, fast forward, people are starting to, you know, gather around, blah, blah, blah. But obviously there's a lap over, and the Villa game, you get to see 15 minutes of it while Liverpool are at half time. So we switch it over. The scouse guy goes to the bar. Some other people go, but then there's a conference on, and people start to funnel through, and there's people from Germany, there's people from Holland at this convention that's happening at this hotel. And because Villa and Forest are playing in the same colours as Liverpool and Bayern Munich are playing in, most of the audience in this TV room think they're watching Bayern Munich versus Liverpool.
I mean, so the quality of our football gives it away, to be honest.
You know, the goals were going in, and there was people celebrating, because Liverpool were playing in white as well. And I think it ended up the same score, didn't it?
It was, yeah.
So they were none the wiser. I mean, obviously, the Liverpool fan came back eventually, and we switched it. But let's say we watched a little bit more of the Villa Forest game than we should have been doing. Anyway, back to the real game.
None of that Champions League nonsense.
It was a battle of two former European champions, so it was easy why they got confused with it. But going into that game, the big decision was who was he going to go with in terms of the midfield? Whether Whelan was going to get a berth or McGinn. But I thought he went more attacking than I expected, because I kind of half thought that Whelan might be in there for Horahan. But in the end, McGinniesta has just been, it's almost like it rattled his cage, that suspension, and then getting dropped when he was obviously available again.
He's come back like a Duracell bunny, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's apart from when he plays against Kazakhstan.
Yes. I'm quite pleased, to be honest. He only played about 60 minutes, didn't he? So he'll be nice and fresh.
Sorry, we're referring to John McGinn's exquisite performance under Alex McLeish in the Scottish debacle. But enough, let's not waste any more time on Alex McLeish.
We don't want to talk about pub league football, do we?
No. So in terms of the Forest game, Max, was it easier than you expected in the end?
In the end, yeah. I think it was the right decision to put McGinn in. I think Whelan had played a lot of games, and obviously McGinn had a stormer and scored twice. But towards the end of the first half, I was a little bit nervous because Forest had all of the ball. And I said, yeah, if we get in a half-time winning, we've done well, because they could easily have got an equaliser just before half-time. But second half, I thought we were absolutely fine. They had a goal disallowed, I think, for a push, which might have been a little bit soft, but overall, yeah, yeah, I think we were absolutely fine.
Because Forest did actually just, I mean, it's marginal, but they did peg it on in terms of possession, which is unusual when Grealish is in the team, because I think we've been averaging about 58% Villa in terms of possession when Grealish plays.
Yeah.
What do you think of Green's performance? Because he played the whole 90 minutes, obviously, this time.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. I've seen a few people saying he didn't really do much, but I thought he had a lot of good runs, to be fair to him. I think he was linking up well with the midfield. He did look bright, I think, against Borough. We'll come on to it, but I don't think he was as good. But in the Forest game, I thought he did look bright.
He gives you energy, doesn't he, ultimately? Yeah. You know, you might not always get the end product when he gets to the byline or into the penalty area, but you know he's going to put a shift in, and he gives you that out ball that, you know, if you want to play from back to front, you can give him it and he'll stretch the opposition.
Yeah,
same as Al Ghazi.
And I think because obviously we're away, and there was obviously a bit of rotation there because Adomar did put in a good shift against the Blues. Should we move on to the Borough or anything else?
I think that the Forest game, I'm sure, you know, Max would agree because he was there, but the Forest game, Blues to a certain extent, but you were starting to see through these games away from home that all of a sudden we can battle with teams and match them physically, and we can also control the game now. You know, we can dictate the tempo. The arrival of Mings just seems to have made a huge difference at the back in terms of organisation, leadership, and actually our distribution from the back's got much better because both him and Courtney Hawes can actually play with the ball,
yeah.
Which is something that, with all due respect to Chester, as much as he's been fantastic for a couple of seasons, he is severely inferior to those guys in possession. Those guys give us a totally different outlook. And I thought Taylor had a brilliant game against Forest. You know, he was the outball every time. And he actually had a really good game against Middlesbrough as well.
Yeah, I think Taylor has been underrated in this run we've been on. I think Mings and House have taken the limelight, but Taylor has been good. He deserves a lot of credit. But Mings and House, again, against Forest, they were so, so good. I think there was a moment in the first half. Mings just did us some sort of bicycle kick clearance. It was quite amazing for where I was sat. But again, they were so, so good. And they're forming quite a partnership. And I don't think, for me, Chester gets into this team if everyone's fit. But
right.
We'll see.
Yeah. We always said, in the last few shows that under Dean Smith, Villa's problem was they only seem to win if they're playing very well, like they're playing their A game. But they really struggle when it comes to, and it's always a hallmark of a very good team is to win playing ugly or win when you're not at your best at all. Do you think it's because they were lacking a certain physicality or, I don't know, what was actually missing? Because allegedly we're playing a high press, but we haven't seen that. So if you're trying to play the high press and it doesn't work, that's what happened initially after Grealish was injured and we were getting caught on the counter all the time. But now we just seem to, we could do enough to get a draw, but we just couldn't hold tight enough to get it over the line. But do you see any difference now in terms of like a toughness to kind of battle out and win points as opposed to having to blow teams away?
Yeah, I think Mings coming in has helped that. But I think we just control the game so much better. I think the distribution from the back is so, so good. And it just allows us to go forward much better. But it is a difficult one, yeah.
I think having, you know, steering goal, certainly, you know, we're going to move on to the Borough game, but there were two or three moments in that game. There were moments in the Blues and the Forest games where, unlike the other two keepers, when a ball comes over the top, Steer is the only goalkeeper we've had this season who is willing to actually come out and claim the ball on the edge of his box. He'll come out and punch. If it's outside of his box, he'll happily come out and smash it into the stand, which, you know, Nyland was permanently rooted to his spot. And I don't think Kalinic had obviously grown into his role yet. So having Steer at the back improved us defensively. And actually, Al Mohammadi coming back into the team as all of a sudden, like Taylor, like Mings, like Hawes, he can play with the ball. He gives us the extra gear to go through going forward.
Well, let's just stick on Steer for a little bit. He's obviously somebody who had a season on loan at Huddersfield, so he knows the Championship. And to all reports that he had a decent time at Huddersfield. And I could never really understand, and this isn't with hindsight because we said it at the time, why he was being shipped out when we got Nyland in. And why he was not there as either an understudy to Nyland or giving him competition, and we went with Bunn instead. I mean, there's two decisions Steve Bruce made that make you scratch your head, and one was obviously Elphick being shipped out on loan, and the other one was Steer when he was far superior to Bunn. And in case anything went wrong with Nyland, and obviously it did, we're talking performance and injury, he would have definitely got games. But in terms of, and it's an important thing as a fan, when you're watching your team, do you have confidence in your goalkeeper? If you had to rate our three goalkeepers, Kalinic, Nyland and Steer, in terms of this season, Max, in terms of your confidence in them and being comfortable with them, i.e. not nervous that they'll make a mistake. How do you rate them?
I think Steer's got to be top. Second, probably Kalinic, and then unfortunately Nyland at the end. But towards the end of Nyland's reign, just before he got injured, I think in the Preston game, he did actually look quite good. And it's so unfortunate that slowly he was growing into it and we haven't seen what he could have been. But yeah, it's we'll see. But I don't know if he's going to come back and play, because we've signed Kalinic for 7 million. So he's not going to sit on the bench forever, is he?
Yeah, I think that's 7 million euros.
I think with Nyland, what you had was a goalkeeper that was very much the sort of, he could make the Hollywood save, but the actual nuts and bolts work of a goalkeeper of commanding his box, organising the back four, he just didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it was the same as sort of Sam Johnson last season.
Yeah, no, I agree. But this isn't the Nyland show, this is the Jed Steer show.
Absolutely it is. And I think, do you know what, he's given the back four confidence.
And he's just got an extra year on his contract. Well, his contract was going to run out. So what does that say this summer? Because if there's one position that we've pretty much sorted out for next season, and I think that it doesn't even depend on what league we're in, it's the goalkeeper situation, because we've essentially gone out and bought two new goalkeepers and just extended the contract of another. So I think those three goalkeepers will be our goalkeepers, whether we're in the Premier League or this division. How do you think that plays out over the summer?
Well, it's a tough one for me. I'd stick with Jed Steer, but Nyland, he might be off, because Bunn will be off. We all know that. I think his contract ends in the summer, but Steer, he's obviously signed this new contract, so he's gonna play a part next year, and so is Kalinic. Obviously we've talked about the money, but Nyland, I don't know if he could be off.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, because Nyland would have seen this Kalinic situation and gone, I mean, sometimes goalkeepers back themselves or players back themselves and they'll think, well, I'll give it till January and see what happens. So that, you know, that might be a situation that transpires. Obviously but pre-season becomes a bit awkward for Dean Smith, because normally if you got two equal goalkeepers, you give them a half each in a pre-season game, or alternate them game after game. But you got three who are all on equal pegging, it becomes a bit of a tough one to give them actual game time to evaluate.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Anyway, moving on to the Middlesbrough game. And this is... It's a weird one where Villa can slap Borough 3-0 home and away, beat Derby 4-0 at home and 3-0 away. And that suggests that this team's Premier League ready already, that we can slap some of the best teams in this division. But were you disappointed with Borough?
I thought they were dreadful.
Yeah.
Really, really poor. You know, for a team who were at the time reasonably comfortably in fifth place, not looking in any danger of dropping out of the playoffs. Yeah, they'd had a bit of a wobble before. I think it was a good time to play them, if truth be told. But I wasn't impressed with them when we played them at the Riverside. They showed about as much ambition as they did in the playoff semi-final.
Yeah,
you know, they've come to Villa Park what, three or four times, if you exclude the cup game last year, and they've just not come and had a go. And sat at the Borough game this season, they had what, one shot at goal that wasn't actually a meaningful effort at goal. I mean, I can't remember a home game against anybody since we've been relegated, let alone a promotion, supposedly a promotion rival, who haven't come to Villa Park and had a go.
Yeah.
It was literally like playing a team who were bottom of the table and devoid of confidence. And I think that's kind of summed up in some of the Middlesbrough fans' comments. They were just, they just played like they were, as soon as they went a goal down, it was like game over.
What did Pulis say after the game?
That Villa were lucky, apparently.
What do you think about that, Max?
Well,
were we lucky? 61% possession, 18 shots.
Yeah, we barely scraped the 3-0 win. But I don't know what Tony Pulis is on about there. He's always been
a bit just shows a real lack of respect for the, you know, your opposition.
Yeah.
You know, when he sort of says, you know, Villa have scored 3 non-league goals, we look the better side after the first substitution against the so-called big teams. We've looked solid today and opened up a little bit. It's kind of like, it's very disrespectful.
Historically, Villa don't have a problem with Pulis. Remember when we were scratching around the bottom of the league and in the FA Cup at sixth round, but West Brom had a chance to not only potentially relegate us, because I think if they beat us in that league
played
game...
Played them twice in a week, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. We'd have been in the same week, they had a chance to pretty much relegate us and also knock us out of the FA Cup and just leave us, just like shooting down a plane in the sky. We'd have been, you know, dive bomb into our oblivion. And, you know, you think Pulis, oh, he's tight, it's not going to be... But, you know, no problem. Even with Tim Sherwood as the manager, we got rid of him twice. And he's never, you know, he couldn't get rid of Bruce in the semi.
Yeah, they didn't come and show willing.
You're always told that it's going to be tough against Pulis, and we never seem to have any problems. And we've had less and less problems this season. We've just annihilated them both times. What do you think, Max? Because I was looking, let's say a week or two, when you started to think about Villa potential in the playoffs, you just thought, well, sixth place is still up for grabs. But I think now fifth place is up for grabs, would you say, as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think a couple of weeks ago, we were all quite optimistic, thinking could playoffs happen. And there was only one real place that, in terms of sixth place, the only place that was really up for grabs. But now it's fifth and sixth. And I was speaking to a Borough fan before the game, and they're really not happy. I think they can see themselves falling out of the playoffs and even mid-table, I think one of them said to me. So I think fifth place, if we can keep this up, could be ours.
Because they've lost their last three games, Borough, have they not?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
They just don't look like scoring, you know. For a team in fifth, they don't look like taking the game to anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, no. We'll transition into what we think is going to happen in the playoffs. I mean, Borough, just to continue on them, they've won one home game in the last five as well. So this is a team that's, as Max just said, the fans are kind of turning against them. They've lost momentum. They've just been slapped by a team they really didn't want to get allowed to have any momentum, which is Villa, because now we've got a head of steam and we're obviously after them. And you look at their fixtures, their remaining fixtures, their next two fixtures, I think, will set the tone, because they've got to play Norwich and they've also got to play Bristol City. Now, if they don't win any of those games, I think they're struggling to stay in the top six for sure. And, you know, then it doesn't really matter who you're playing, because if you lost your momentum, you know, other teams in the Championship can pick you off. We've seen Ipswich done Villa big favours somehow. They've managed to peg back three promotion hopefuls, 1-1 last three games, West Brom, Bristol City and Forest as well. So you get some unlikely results all over the place, but Villa have at the right time won four games where other teams have started to stumble badly, and Derby are as inconsistent as hell. I mean, they've got kind of a soft fixture list, and they've got a chance that, say, in the next four games, I mean, well, five games, six probably, they've got to play Rotherham, Brentford, Blackburn, Bolton, Birmingham, QPR before they play anybody who's got any ambitions of the playoffs. So they could get themselves back in it, but they're so inconsistent that I think they'll drop points in that run anyway.
I think Villa of the batch, everybody will be looking at Villa going, well, they were always going to turn it round eventually. They've turned it round sooner than everybody thought.
Yeah,
I think the injury situation has cleared up, touch wood. And all of a sudden you're looking at Villa going, well, you know, who's going to give Villa a game at the moment?
Naming the two teams that you're more concerned about in terms of getting that fifth and sixth spot.
I think that we will get fifth place. And I think Middlesbrough will slip out of it. I think Preston are flying at the moment. They beat Borough away. They've won their last six away games or something ridiculous. So do I think they'll get playoffs? Maybe. But who out of them teams just outside the playoffs could I see coming out? I don't really know, because Blues, we all know about them. They've gone. Middlesbrough are going to fall out of it. Forest have gone. I'm not too sure. I think that sixth place is up for grabs. It really is.
Well, Preston, they're doing a bit of a Millwall, because I think they got beat away at Rotherham on the first day of the year. I think it was the first or the second. But since then, they've been unbeaten this year. And they've, you know, including wins against Norwich as well. And they've won, as you said, six away games. So, but the problem is, after their next game against Reading, if they win that, then they've got to play Sheffield United, Leeds and West Brom all on the trot.
Yeah, you throw that at Sheffield Wednesday as well. You know, Sheffield Wednesday have had a really good run under Bruce, and now they've got to start playing, you know, the big boys.
They haven't beaten anybody in the top 10.
And now they've got to play, obviously, Villa, Stoke, Forest, Leeds, Norwich. I think they've got Bristol and Preston as well. So
yeah.
I don't think Sheffield are a realistic one. Bristol having the games in hand will give them the psychological boost. But
it's fixture congestion at the same
time. And they've got games against tough sides. You know, they've got Sheffield United and Middlesbrough next. They've got to play the Baggies. I think the game between Villa and Bristol at Villa Park could be the really big one for us.
Yeah.
That's the only one on our fixtures that you think that's against one of the teams. I think realistically, the game against Norwich come the last day, we'll probably need to win. But I think Norwich will have... they'll be done by then anyway. I think they'll be on the beach at that point. Leeds away the week before, that could be the really tough one, because I'd imagine Leeds and Sheffield United are probably going to battle it out all the way to the death.
So what are you saying? You're saying Norwich are going to do it?
Yeah, I think Norwich will win it at this point.
Yeah, I think Norwich are gone. I think Sheffield United will get second. I think they've got the best home form in the league, Sheffield United. They're so, so good at home. They've shown the ability away as well. They beat Leeds, and I think that's a really big result for them, both psychologically as well.
But I think
Sheffield United and Norwich will go up.
Because one thing about Sheffield United is their manager, Chris Wilder. He knows how to win. I mean, he won the conference with Oxford. He won League Two with Northampton, then League One with Sheffield United. And this is a winning pedigree. This is something when we were in, you know, obviously the bad run, you're looking at Dean Smith and certain fans are going, oh no, guaranteed, he's the man, blah, blah, blah. But he had no pedigree. He's got no winning pedigree. He never finished above eighth. But with Chris Wilder, when you're looking at this hypothetical situation of, you know, is it going to be Sheffield United or Leeds? You look at Wilder's record and he's won titles. He knows how to win. So that means it doesn't matter about what team it is, whatever. Mentally, he knows how to get his team down and he knows how to keep it going. So you look at Leeds, and Leeds are temperamental. I mean, they can destroy teams, as we saw against the Baggies, or they can ship goals. When they played Villa, I mean, even though they dominate the first half, we were 2-0 up and Tammy Abraham should have made it 3, and that would have been, you know, the game out. And we didn't have Grealish then. They didn't play us at our best, and we should have beaten them. But sorry, Leeds, I think, are a little temperamental, where Sheffield United and their manager have got the track record to suggest, because obviously he's done it recently to get them out of League One, that, you know, they're there for the long haul.
I think the thing that certainly the pundits are looking at with Leeds as well is the way that Bielsa, this Bielsa ball works. They run more than anyone in the league, and I think a few people have thrown it at them that, have they run their race? You know, are they getting leggy now at the worst possible time? You know, come the end of April, May, will they have run out of steam? That's, you know, yet to be decided, but I can understand that. You know, they will have played a lot of games.
Yeah.
And it's a very dynamic game of football. As you look at Villa, and they actually look very fresh, and we're kind of going through the gears. We're one of the few sides at the moment who are really building up ahead of steam at the right time. As you look at Albion, they're kind of coasting. Leeds are sort of up and down a little bit. Sheffield United and Norwich.
So just to conclude, you're both saying Sheffield United automatic with Norwich.
Yep.
Yes.
So that leads us into the playoffs, where we have Aston Villa, we have West Brom, we have Leeds, and I think Derby or Borough. I think Preston, unless they do a Fulham and they just plough through Sheffield United, Leeds and West Brom without any concern, and those three fixtures that I thought they might come and stuck in, you know, they get rid of over Preston. But let's just say, I mean, who do you fancy? I'll ask you, Max, who do you fancy, Middlesbrough, Preston or Derby? Derby have got a game in hand, and Middlesbrough have got a game in hand to Preston. Preston have probably got the hardest fixtures. Derby have probably got the easiest.
Yeah, I'll probably go with Derby. As I said, I spoke to Middlesbrough fans. They're not happy. Preston, I just don't quite see it happening. So I'm going to go with Derby.
Chris Budd?
Derby. I think
I'll go for Derby.
I think the international breaks come at a good time for Derby. I don't think they're a bad side. I just think they aren't very fit and they need the break. But I think when they get their shit together, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, because my concern at the moment is not getting into the playoffs. I think we'll get in the playoffs. My concern is winning the playoffs, which is the problem. Because the current top four teams in six games against Villa, we haven't beaten any of them. You could argue that we haven't actually had our best team in some of those games. And, well, we've got a team now that hasn't played any of those teams, if you know what I mean. We haven't played them with Mings in house and Grealish all in the same team. So do you fear any of those teams?
Honestly?
That said,
no.
Max, I'm going to say no as well. No.
I think you're looking at a very different Aston Villa now that were, even to the team that were on a good run in November, because you look at how we're set up defensively. Yeah. And I think if you put Villa against any of those sides, including Norwich at the moment, I might add.
Yeah.
Villa with the back four we've got, Villa are going to score against whoever they play at the moment, because our firepower is the best in the league. It's just a fact.
It's just a fact.
but our back four and the midfield defensively as a unit were so open. I mean, Forest game. You can look down our results this season. It's laughable. So the amount of 2-2 draws, 3-3 draws, 5-5, it's crazy. Yeah. I don't see too many of those results now. We've shown we can fight till the end. I mean, the Sheffield United game showed that. The fact that we can go to St Andrews and grind out a scrappy 1-0. We can ride our luck a little bit against Forest and then go through the gears and dominate. We've flattened Forest, flattened Derby, home and away. There'll be teams looking at Villa, and I think, as and we've discussed it a few times, that the two legs of the semi-final, if we get there, is what would fear me, because I actually think this Villa team going to Wembley for a playoff final, they wouldn't have the shackles. They'd go for it.
I think I can see a firefight with Leeds at Wembley. That would be...
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I've been thinking for a while. But I think if Villa go into the playoffs with momentum, I don't think anybody's going to want to play Villa.
What game do you fear the most in terms of, you know, for example, Baggies over two legs or Derby at Wembley? Max, is there any permutation of the playoffs that you would say would be a tough obstacle for Villa to get through? I mean, you know, they're all not going to be a walk in the park, but I mean, for example, I'll go first. Baggies home and away might be a bit sticky.
Yeah, I think we'll get fifth and we'll get Albion in the semi-finals, which I can't imagine that, because we'll get them at home first as well, and then we'll have to go to the Hawthorns away second. Yeah. And that scares me a little bit. But with the momentum we have, and as Chris said, with the defence we've got, which is different to when we played Albion, when we lost 2-0 at home.
Yeah.
Maybe we could surprise them a little bit, and hopefully we can do a job on them. Well, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but let's hope so.
Because I know from this West Midlands Police meeting, independent advisory group meeting, that they don't want the Baggies over two legs. I think they don't want that more than Wembley. But if we do get fifth, then obviously it looks more likely the two-legger job. I don't know, Chris, what would you see that's different
in terms of
the way we've played them the last two times? Because even when, you know, when we had Grealish, that was obviously the game we got injured. We should have won that, really. It was a
dubious goal. Yeah, it was just a lack of killer instinct.
Yeah, and a dubious goal.
Yeah, I think the game at Villa Park kind of was what it was, and I think most Villa fans just want to put that to the back of their mind. I think the difference with this Villa team is, could I see us going to the Hawthorns with a lead? Yes. Would the Villa team in 2018 have gone to the Hawthorns with a lead and actually held on to it? No. I mean, you would say, whoever you would play in the playoffs, we would concede, so we'd have to score. Can we actually keep a clean sheet? This team probably can. I don't fear anybody in the final. It's over two legs more. Yeah. I think at Wembley, I think it would take care of itself with, you know, players like McGinn on a big field, Grealish on a big pitch. I think someone like Al Ghazi, I think, would really raise his game on the big occasion. I think someone like Mings would be in his element.
But this team, when Dean Smith's team's in its full pomp, I don't think it matters home or away.
No.
Would you agree with that, Mac?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think it matters who you play either.
Yeah.
It's irrespective of opposition.
Away from home, we do look a little bit better. Whether it's the pressure that when we were on that dodgy run, it was the pressure of the whole end that were moaning every time like a pass went out of play. But away from home, we just don't. It doesn't look like it phases us. Under Bruce, away from home, sometimes it wasn't the same as at Villa Park. But under Dean Smith, I don't see any difference home and away.
Yeah. No, I think it's looking good. Last time you were on the show, we did a predictions where we were going to finish, and we were all predicted just outside the playoffs. So hopefully that doesn't remain in this resurrection that we didn't expect. gives us a different set of results. But we're all pretty confident now that we're going to be in the playoffs. And I'm so glad the season continues, because I just couldn't think of how can you do podcasts, and obviously you do YouTube videos. How can you do them when it's just like the season's over, it's all dead, and you're just kind of going through the motions? But now we have drama. We have adventure.
We have momentum and we've got belief. I mean, there's so much to be said for that. You know, you can see the players, they believe and they are laser focused. And the fans, all of a sudden, you know, the Middlesbrough game was a pretty good atmosphere. And the fans believe.
Max, do you believe?
I'm just going to say I can't be dealing with another defeat at Wembley.
But neither can I, and I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Right, what do you normally do in the international breaks?
Enjoy the time off, to be honest.
Yeah, do you see them as an enjoyable thing, Max, or is it a bit of a curse? People always moan about them. I welcome 2 weeks of not thinking about Villa, and it's beautiful to go into an international break after 4 wins. And I think
has it come at the wrong time?
Well, I was about to say that. I think it's a good time
this time round.
You have a chance to recalibrate, take stock, look at, because the landscape's changed now, so get the mentality right for the changed landscape. It also gives, we've had a couple of weeks where suddenly we've got, I'm going to wait for the cheers, but Henry Lansbury's now going to be fit. And
his cheese string hamstrings.
And his man bun is back. And Axel Tuanzebe's will be ready to go as well. So we'll have a stronger squad for starters, unless there's some, have we got any internationals nowadays?
I think Horahan on Whelan will be away with Ireland, McGinn with Scotland. Obviously, Dan's best friend, Jimmy Dange, has gone away and got himself a stupid haircut.
Stupid haircut, yeah. I think Dan Rogers probably cut his hair, to be honest.
He's going for the Jason Lee pineapple. At least we've got a new song to sing, and I know the Villa fans have been moaning that we haven't got a new song, so at least we can sing He's Got a Pineapple on His Head.
Yeah, no, there is that. Because I'm a Lincoln boy, I always used to remember the Jason Lee. I always remember he couldn't play football, he was terrible. He had the worst control of any football player I've ever seen. But apart from the pineapple on his head, he managed to get like sent off in 3 consecutive games. That was his only main attributes as a footballer, knew how to get sent off. And for a centre forward, it was terrible. And for some reason, Nottingham Forest bought him. It's almost like if we managed to sell Ross McCormack now.
Which doesn't look like we're going to do. If you've seen the papers this week, it looks like Motherwell will be sending him back off his loan spell.
Well, he's already back, isn't he?
Because he's that out of shape. He's a spent force, but of course he won't retire.
Well, why would you?
He'd just sit and take his money, wouldn't he?
Why would you? What would you do?
Exactly. He knows he's not going to play at Villa, doesn't he? And he probably won't get another loan either.
Well, like Micah Richards, he's injured. He can't play football anymore. And I mean, I'm not
over a year, has he?
I'm not 100% on the insurance situation and what the medical was. Apparently, he didn't cleanly pass his medical, so they couldn't get insurance. That's like the wife's tale on this. So obviously he's broken down and he can't announce his retirement because obviously he's still getting his wage. He would obviously get more sympathy from Villa supporters. So he's got to go through this period where he's got to get to the end of his contract, take all this abuse and suck it up because he can't really announce his retirement now. I think initially, he didn't want to, when you're a footballer, you don't want to, it's not an easy thing to kind of admit to yourself that it's over. So he probably kept trying, but now he's in a position where I think it's game set and match over. But at least I don't want to be, we've always had to talk about these players like sucking the club dry. And I think Villa truly move forward once all these, once I think probably next season, once McCormack's off the books as well. I don't think there will be any left. I mean, there's like Lansbury's and your Hogan's or whatever, but they still potentially could be bit part players.
Yeah, I still think Lansbury could have a moment for us in him this season. I think he's still got a role to play.
Right, and on that note, it's time to I think it's time to end the show when he's starting to talk about the potential saviour, how Henry Lansbury is going to lead us to Europe in the Premier League next season. Maybe he has a role to play at Wembley in the forthcoming playoff final, which hopefully will be there. Anyway, let's not get ahead of ourselves so much. Thank you very much for Max for joining us on the show, and Chris, as always. Please do follow and subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or whatever format you check the show. Also, if you're on iTunes, give us a wee review and slap a 5 stars on it as well, if you could. Also, become a patron on myomansaid.com/patron to check out the details there to help us carry on the show. Right, until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.